flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Seth, you had stepped away while I was reading that Slam Dunk in Vegas promo, so you didn't, I don't think you heard the tease. So I'll see if you agree with this. This is my leader in the clubhouse for the dumbest statement by a head coach in 2025 so far. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play this here. This was Archie Miller, who college basketball fans will remember as a media darling several years ago when he was the head coach at Dayton. And Dayton made a run to the Elite Eight. I remember that acutely because I was hosting the Triple Threat at the time with the venerable Dayton grad himself, Rich Lord, big Dayton guy. Archie Miller would go on to be the coach at Indiana. He's now the coach at Rhode Island. And Rhode Island is in, I believe, the Atlantic 10. You know, they're in it's a lesser conference. So he was opining on just kind of how maybe some of the bigger conferences get more favorable coverage, that kind of thing. You know, it's not just a football thing. Happens in basketball, too. And he actually brought up the SEC. And here's what he said.
Difficult. I heard somebody say the other day, like, you know, the SEC is the best league in the country, but, you know, in all games, they're like 54 and 54. Somebody said that. I don't know if that's even accurate, but, like, do you know how hard it is in every league, you know, to win? You know, it's just hard to win any game.
Okay, so somebody had jokingly tweeted, like, yeah. The SEC's not that great. In the league, they're only 54 and 54.
And 54 against SEC opponents, yeah. Right? Like, without a tie, the only way that the only record you can have in any conference, right?
Is okay, a 500 record, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
He's
yeah.
citing this as like, they're only a 500 league. They're 54 within and 54 since the beginning of the year.
I don't know. Maybe he was making the point that, like, no matter. It all boils down to what your level of competition is. There's high school leagues that are really, really, really hard to win within that league. You know, so that it's competitive everywhere.
I hate that you're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
What's that?
I hate that you're giving him the benefit of the doubt. He saw a stat that he thought backed up his point, which, you know what other league
that's
is
true,
54
that's true.
And 54 yeah. in their last okay, 54 no. games? Every
yeah.
league.
You're exactly right. Because, like, for him to think it was notable or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, somehow in his mind that if it were a really good league, then SEC teams would be... 104 and 4 against other
against
SEC
themselves.
Teams.
Yeah. Like,
did you see the actual tweet that was
I did,
making a joke
I did,
about it?
I did. Oh, yeah, okay. I did. Because it's that video. The person who tweeted that out had yeah. that video. Like, I got him. You know, like I think they were just looking to get somebody, and they got Archie Miller.
All right, yeah. All right. I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to Archie Miller.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I'm guessing he's not a big advanced stats guy.
Probably not. Payne and Pendergast with you. Someone said, it's interesting, the text page, we were talking about the Senior Bowl, and someone said, hey, guys, wish we wouldn't have drafted a tight end last year. Have you seen Elijah Arroyo from the University of Miami? I have. He's a really good player. I don't think drafting Cade Stover last year in the fourth round is going to prevent the Texans if they see a guy in, say, the second round who they, especially not knowing who the OC is going to be, you know, if there's a really good tight end there that they think is a day one or day two pick, and he's the best guy. They drafted Blake Fisher last year in the second round with two highly paid starting tackles on the team.
Yeah, and I think it all depends on also what is an organization's philosophy in drafting guys at positions where you already have good players. I mean, people were surprised that the Texans drafted Blake Fisher in the second round this year because they already had two starting offensive tackles.
Yep.
And Nick said, look, you end up needing them. Hey,
and they did.
You know, now it is harder to keep four tight ends on the roster. So with Brevin Jordan coming back and Cade Stover coming back, that does get a little bit dicier. But I think if they really like a guy in the first two rounds, and that's where it is, if maybe the receivers that they like are already gone at pick 25 or in the second round, then I don't think that's a barrier. I mean, the one I always point to is that when the Ravens drafted Jonathan Ogden, they already had two good starting offensive tackles.
Yeah.
But the Ravens forever have been a team that they, every year people say, well, no, the Ravens wouldn't do this because they have that player. Or, no, the Ravens wouldn't do that because of that. They don't care. They're the closest to genuinely taking best player available out of any team in the league. Every league claims they only take the best player available, and then lo and behold, they draft a guy who just conveniently is in a position of need for the team.
Yeah.
The Ravens really, really try to abide by taking the best player available.
Yeah, and it works all the time. That's what's so frustrating. Yeah. they draft him and they become great players for him.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, contributors. We were getting some reaction to the cut we played from the drive yesterday where they were talking about coaches to interview and, you know, maybe they're interviewing certain guys with the idea that maybe not for OC, but bringing them in some capacity. Got a few of these. Hell no to Eric Bieniemy for any coach on the staff.
I think with Eric Bieniemy, the whole thing is, I mean, it was kind of a hot button issue for a long time because it was, you know, there were other dynamics to it that people could grandstand about. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's interviewed in a lot of places, and since then there have been a lot of black coaches who have taken positions that he either interviewed for or elsewhere. There's something that teams, it's above and beyond any dynamic like that, I think, at this point. It's the teams are not looking at him nearly as much or as often as they once were.
No, the market's spoken on Eric Bieniemy. You know, he's been several different places since Kansas City, and for whatever reason, his career is going backwards at this point, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't have a huge appetite for Eric Bieniemy on the staff as well. I would agree.
I wouldn't mind him on the staff. I just don't think that as an offensive coordinator.
No.
I don't think he's not on my wish list for offensive coordinator.
Definitely not.
I mean, you look at, okay, did Matt Nagy, that's the interesting question is, okay, Matt Nagy, how come he got an opportunity to come out of Kansas City where Eric Bieniemy didn't? I think that's fair, but also I point out that, yeah, Matt Nagy, I don't think he's the guy either unless he's working for Andy Reid under an offensive-minded. If we had Andy Reid as our head coach, hell yeah, bring Eric Bieniemy back in. But it's just that's not the situation you're in. You've got a young defensive-minded head coach, and that's where the standard has to be a little bit higher.
The tight end thing's getting a reaction. Get rid of Dalton. He can't block. Dalton, you're going to have to swallow some money to get rid of Dalton Schultz. There's good things Dalton does. I think, you know, the blocking thing was an issue. Last year, he seemed like a willing blocker. This year, he was not only not good at blocking, there were times where he's like, nah,
yeah,
I might block on this play.
The one play that a lot of people noticed in the Chiefs game was where it looked like he was supposed to chip the defensive end.
Touched him.
And if any, it looked like Dalton Schultz pass rushed to the defensive end.
Yeah.
Because he actually, and I'm like, you never know exactly what his responsibilities are on that play. Maybe he was just supposed to show pass set real quick and then go. But he turned down the opportunity to even give him an elbow in the ribs.
Yes.
Yeah, like he moved his left arm actively out of the way. And the funniest thing about that was the defensive end. The defensive end in that situation usually – would do something anticipating the chip block. And this guy just didn't give a damn about Dalton Schultz.
No.
He just, his eyes were on Blake Fisher and Blake Fisher alone. He was not worried one bit about Dalton Schultz.
What is, Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, I Seth, I actually clicked on a mock draft yesterday. I know I said I wasn't going to do it until until after the Super Bowl, but I clicked on one, and I have to admit something, and I don't remember whose mock draft it was. I think it was The Athletic. Two things I'm going to admit. It is nice having to scroll down to find the Texans because it means your team is relatively good. We remember the days where all you had to do was click the article, and the Texans pick was... pretty much right there, like one revolution of the mouse down. You can find him there at 2 or 3. It's nice to have to scroll down to at least 25. That's number one. Number two, yeah. The Texans in that mock draft were drafting a guard, Tyler Booker from Alabama, who I read, so I did a little studying on him, and apparently he's got a lot of Will Anderson kind of qualities. Like he'll do real well in those interviews. Like he's very swarmy, like that kind of thing.
We need more swarm-like offensive linemen. Yeah.
He seems swarmy, and that got me, I got excited about an interior offensive lineman in a mock draft.
I think that the dream scenario for a lot of Texans fans, I'm guessing. I don't want to be like these people that think that all the fans want to see a three-peat out of Kansas City.
Right.
Or need to be shamed into wanting it. Yeah. I'm guessing the dream scenario would be wide receiver at 25, guard within the second round, mm-hmm. and you also have, after already having signed a guard in free agency.
Ooh.
Ideally, Trey Smith, the guard for the Chiefs.
So you're just overhauling the whole brand new guards.
You've got Trey Smith playing right guard, replacing Shaq Mason, and then you've got a guy in the mix at left guard who can compete for a job there. And just like that would feel pretty good. I would feel like, okay, they're really going after it and trying to fix the sore spots on this offense.
And then you got a competition at center with Scruggs and Jared Patterson.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably can't.
Well, if they end up going to more of a inside zone and power and duo type of run game, like a more physical rushing attack, then, well, the other option would be a center in the second round, and Tytus Howard stays at left guard, actually. That might be, okay. There's something there, too. I'm intrigued by if they change the scheme, Tytus Howard at left guard, because he's just a big body to move, and he's got to clean some things up, but that's intriguing to me. But and then have actual genuine competition instead of penciling in Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green like they're made men in preseason.
Okay, so let's say, call it wide receiver round one, interior offensive lineman round two is the dream scenario.
Yeah. Maybe it's a center, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you heading into the 8 o'clock hour.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Very clearly, I'm saying that second rounder doesn't get to start right away.
Right.
You know, you don't just say, oh, he's Juice Scruggs. Oh, he's the next all-pro center. Throw him in there, right.
Yeah, unless they're the best one. Payne and Pendergast, into the 8 o'clock hour. What did we learn about the Rockets last night? Did we learn as much about them last night as we did beating the Celtics the night before? And Dana Brown speaks on the Ryan Presley and Alex Bregman situations. We'll hit all that heading into the 8 o'clock hour coming up next.